something. Okay. Operator, please start recording and I'll go ahead with the roll call. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the At-Large Review Working Party ITEM and MSSI team call taking place on Friday, 6th of January 2017 at 1100 UTC. On the call today we have Holly Rage, Aida Noblia, Tijani Benjema, Maureen Hilliard, Satish Babu, Leon Sanchez, on the Spanish channel we have Alberto Soto. We have received apologies from Wanda Scartesini, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, and Aliel Meshal. From ITEM's team, we have Tim McGuinness, Tom McKenzie, Rosa Delgado. And from staff, we have Larissa Gurnick, Lars Hoffman, Heide Ulrich, Ariel Liang, our new team member, Irina Dodo, and myself, Hishim Nazar. Our Spanish interpreters for today are Veronica and David. I hope I haven't left anyone else doing the roll call. And, oh, Cheryl has joined us as well. And finally, if I could please remind everyone to state their names before speaking, not only for the transcript purposes, but also for the interpretation purposes as well. And thank you very much. Over to you, Holly.
Thank you, Yassim and Holly Raish, for the transcript records. You have the agenda in front of you, which is going to be a very brief introduction from me and a reminder of the timelines. Tom is then going to go over a lot of the comments, topic by topic. Alan, I'm not sure about the longevity debate. I certainly want to have enough time for discussion by working party members, so we'll work through that. We have a hard stop, so we've only got 90 minutes, and I want to hear from as many people as possible. A reminder, this call was initiated because at the last call of the working party that it was felt that a lot of people would like a little bit more time to look at the actual report, to make comments, and to have a response from the ITEMS team before it goes out for public comment. So the deadline for working party and ALAC members is now the 9th, that's Monday at the end of the day. It then, there's time for the ITEMS team to respond to what they've heard, and it is expected that the report will go out for public comment on the 20th of January. The public comment will close on the 2nd of March, and at the Copenhagen meeting, it's expected we'll probably have a half-day meeting. Gisela is arranging that. Once the public comment period is over and the meeting with obviously Copenhagen is over, there will be a final opportunity for the working party members to be briefed on the report before it goes to the board in June of 2017. And as Heidi has reminded us in Skype, there's a lot of work that happens once that happens. So we've still got plenty ahead of us, but right now what I really want to concentrate on is response to the report that has gone out. Now, just a couple of words from me. Many of the comments were either to correct mistakes, and that's fine, and I don't think we need to comment further on that. That's something that the ITEMS team can do. There seemed to be a bit of concern about the wording, that in fact some of the wording may be used by people to criticize ALAC, and probably unjustifiably or not. And so there was some suggestion the wording might be changed. I don't think we have to spend a lot of time on that, frankly. There was some comment on the comment that I'm sure we don't need to spend any time at all. We now know that ALAC is not representative of users, but the interests of users. We can put that to bed. We probably need to spend a lot of time on the actual, there were some proposals. The membership proposal, I don't think anybody is disagreeing with the fact that that should be, there should be membership category for individuals and it should be uniform. I don't think that's contentious. That can be done. So the things that I would like to concentrate on and things that people were really talking about were the actual proposals. Now, in the last call, at one point, Tom actually said that the proposal for the membership for doing were for a rejigging of the structure was radical change, and in the same conversation, Tim said it wasn't. So I think even within the IT team's team, there was a little bit of a, well, what are we doing? So, Tom, I'm sure you're going to give, well, you're next to give an overview of the comments, but given, I would say, a lot of the comments on the actual structures, I think that's where we're going to spend a fair bit of time. So could I hand over to you now, Tom, for your overview of what people have said, and in particular, the new structures that you have proposed. Thank you, and over to you.
Okay, hello. This is Tom speaking. Can you hear me okay?
Wait a minute. First, Yassim, you have your hand up. Is that something that we need to know about right now?
Thanks so much, Holly. I see that there is a question on the AC chat from Satish Babu, and I believe he wants me to read it out. May I?
I can do that. Will a draft report go for public comment with all the comments received so far after their removal? What will go out for public comment will be the report. The individual comments made, I can't imagine they would go out for public comment, but maybe Tom address that first. Thank you.
Okay, hello. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, good. Okay, okay. So first of all, to answer that specific question about the document that's going to go out, the next draft, which is going to go out for public comment, that document will not include the comments that have been made in this previous round. What we are going to do now in this next, in the preparation of the next draft, is that we are going to take into account all the comments that you have made. We're going to decide which ones need us to take some action to change the document or not. And then we will submit a new version of the document, an updated version of the document, which will go a clean, without any comments on it, version of the document. And that's what people will have to comment on. So that was just to sort of to answer that question. Now, regarding the just a sort of a brief comment for, as we start this conversation, we acknowledge and have seen that there have been there's been quite a lot of activity from your side commenting on the document. According to our calculation, we now have about 15 commenters, most of whom are members of the review working party. There are only one or two who aren't, who have been sort of invited in subsequently. There's one, Glenn McKnight, who we understand has made comments, but we haven't actually received those yet. Glenn wrote a message to me saying that he'd commented, but I haven't actually seen his comments yet. So I don't know by what means he tried to submit those comments. One thing I think, one point we would like to make is that we want to make sure that we keep a handle on the whole sort of process. There has been a series of sort of extensions to the commenting period. It was actually initially our understanding that it was going to be the 6th, but now
yep.
this is, well, it's now it's the 9th. That's okay. But we keep on sort of adding on bits to the period. And the main reason why we are a little bit concerned is because every time there's an extension, it actually squeezes the time that we have to then take the comments into account and prepare the next draft. But that was, you know, one point that we just want to make. We want to make sure that at least from now on, that we really try and sort of stick to very hard, a very hard timeline, which will allow us to have all the time that we need for the next phase, the next draft, and the final draft, of course. We wouldn't like to find ourselves in a situation where we're sort of overshooting the end of the review period. Now, the last point is that all comments that have been made, or most of the comments that have been made, have been made on the document, and that's fine, that's perfect. That was the agreed sort of methodology. And we do also have a number of comments that have come in by email. We also said that would be okay. We feel that we cannot provide a particularly sort of detailed analysis, or we're in absolutely no position to provide any kind of analysis of those comments before the deadline, which is now the 9th of January. What we can do is that we can tell you that, you know, we can point out, as I think, Holly, you actually already have, the issues that people are sort of zooming in on. But that's really about it. What we would prefer with this call is to hear from you what your objections are to some of the different bits of written proposals that we're making, and really to argue why you think that we want to hear you argue why you think certain things are wrong, inaccurate, have been tried in the past, whatever. We don't want to get ourselves into a position where we're justifying our position at this stage. We will do that at a later stage down the road, but not yet. Holly, you concluded with a question about membership. I mean, membership is obviously a key aspect of our proposal. We may have used slightly different ways to describe how much of an important change that is going to represent. If I could actually push back and ask you you and the other members of the review working party on this call to tell us what you think about the proposal for individual membership. We are very happy. We believe that we have come up with a strong model to replace the existing model based on organizations, ALSs. If you have disagreements with that, we're all ears, and we would very much like to hear from you. Perhaps we could just start with that slight pushback, if you like. And then, if you want, we can go through the different issues that people are zooming in on, and ask for just, and we can organise a sort of discussion around that.
Yes, but first, Lars, the email you sent me was 9 January, was the submission of working party comments. That's what I have from the email. Now, my understanding was the reason that we held this call tonight was so that people would have a final chance in the next, 48 hours, literally, to make a comment. Is that your understanding, Tom?
Yes.
And Lars, is that your...
Oh,
the deadline. See, Lars has said so. Let's actually clarify that before we talk to anybody else. Now, Heidi says it was the 6th. Lars says it was the 6th. Well, okay, it's the 6th. Right. Okay. Okay. Fine. My timeline, therefore, will be changed. It's now 6 January. And you all have 6 January at 23:59. Okay. That's the admin stuff. Now we've got to go to comments. And I put myself in the queue as well. The first and... Right now, the part that we are up to is the discussion. These are the people's with the questions that people have about the actual structure, Tom, which is what you'd rather spend time on, and I understand that. So I think that's where we go from here. Tijani, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Holly. If my recollection is good, I think that this call is intended to have not the feedback, but what the items theme think about the reaction they or the interaction they received from the community, from the working party, and tell us if our remarks are would be taken into or would change something in the report or not. Of course, we are not asking for a new draft, but we are asking about something like this. The feeling or the impression the team of items have about the impact of the comments received so far on the report that will be put for the public comment. Unfortunately, I just listened to Tom, and I understood that he said that they cannot give anything but on after 9. That means that this call will be, I don't know, he said he wants to hear from us, but we said everything. We sent our positions, our views, our impressions on the comments that we sent to items. So I don't see any good interest of this call if we will repeat our concerns or our point of view about them or any other thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. And Yassim, first of all, could you track down, there's an echo that I'm hearing and a lot of the other people are hearing as well. It would make it easier to hear all of us. Thank you.
Hi, Holly. This is Isham. It was coming from, I believe, from Tijani's AT line. Tijani, if you could please turn off your speakers, mute your speakers, and we would definitely prefer if you could use the phone bridge. Like yesterday, we have better audio from you if you use the phone bridge. Thanks so much.
All right. Can I leave that between the two of you to sort? In the meantime, Alan and then Cheryl. Alan, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Two different things. Number one, on the deadline, I understand everyone in writing said the 6th. Tom said verbally the 9th twice. Please let me finish. I'd like to make sure that no one else who is not on this call was told the 9th. So if that's just Tom's misunderstanding, there's no problem at all. if other people have been told the 9th and now we're pulling it back to the 6th, we need to know that. I didn't say we can't do it, but I would like clarity on whether that was just a slip of the tongue or other people have actually been informed that it is the 9th. So that's number one. Number two, I think Tom was asking for comments on the membership model and individual members. If that is what is being called for right now, I have some comments.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. As I've said verbally and in my comments, I think the use of individual members is something that is important. The name that has been provided in this report is deadly, and if that's used, there's going to be all sorts of ugly implications. That is using the term empowered, which was taken from the ICANN accountability model. That's a, sounds like a nit, but it isn't. And the devil is in the details. Simply glibly saying that we will only admit people who have been active for 6 months or 3 months, because I think both numbers are used in different places, or a year, I don't remember, is not going to cut it at this point. Those are the problems we've been struggling with for years now. And if we're going to say we're going to rely on something like that, we're going to know how, have to know how we're going to do it, and it has to be truly implementable and scalable. Scalable is an important issue. If we're going to be successful, there will be hundreds or thousands of these. We have to be able to work in that environment. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl, you had your hand up. Has your hand gone down? Apparently it has. My hand goes up. Tom, my question, and it said against the background of a lot of comments that were made, which was the role that ALAC actually plays. If you have ALSs with a variety of structures and concerns and so forth, many of which whose main focus is not ICANN, but they are ALSs because some of what they do is partly relevant to ICANN, their participation and understanding of what ICANN is about is at the moment channeled through the relevant RALO and then to ALAC, and it winds up being a communication channel that assists people in both from different backgrounds understanding the ICANN issues, but also as a conduit for information back. And so if you're going to change that structure, I would be interested in how you envisage communication channels when you seem to have flattened the structure, because you've still got people who perhaps are not sufficiently au fait with ICANN and its processes and its language to make comments to actually understand what's going on. So I would be interested in comments on that. Thank you. And after that, Cheryl. Tom?
Yes. Hello. So your question is regarding the ALSs. The difficulty I'm having right now is that we did really want, we sort of agreed amongst ourselves that we would really wanted to use this call not to explain our own position, or not to get ourselves into a position where we're explaining the model, but really for you to, as Alan started to do just now, was to say the real issues that you have with the definition of a membership-based model for engagement as opposed to an organization-based mechanism, which is what you've got at the moment. Now, that's the kind of thing which I think would be is really interesting. And in fact, I would almost want to push back or to Alan, for example, and to say, well, that is very, you know, that's very interesting. That's exactly what we want to hear. And please tell us more about the devil is in the detail and that kind of thing. You know, we because this is the time now that you have to push back and to criticize and to say that you've tried things in the past and you've been working on it for months. And, you know, this is exactly the kind of thing that we want to hear. And so please, can we use the time for that? And then I'm just going to hand over to Tim, I think, who's going to answer you, Holly, on the question that you have just asked.
Thank you. And then there are a couple of comments in the chat that I'll ask you to respond to. But, yeah, let's go over to Tim first. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. I just replied to Maureen in the chat. Yeah, our work process is that we would collect all of your comments up to the 22nd of December, now pushed back to the 6th of January, and we are not making edits to the document in response to your comments so far. So, in other words, the answer to Maureen's question is no changes have been made in response to your comments. On the other question, I think there is... you know, the Rallos still have their role to play in terms of communication. I would refer to you to the FAQs that we wrote about. You know, there are groups, you currently call them at-large structures, who will be eligible to be at-large members and participate in a similar way to the way they do now. In fact, you know, I and the rest of the team are counting on the current at-large membership of at-large structures to participate as at-large members. But I think we wrote about this in the FAQ addendum that we made for you.
Yes, you did. Thank you. Do you have any further comments? Because your hand is still up, and if not, then I will go to Tijani.
Holly, hand goes down every time I go into my phone,
okay.
So I can unmute myself. Could you do me the courtesy to keep me in the queue, please?
I'm happy to. I just thought you were pulling out of the queue. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Holly. Cheryl, for the transcript record. In response to, and please remember I'm at a dinner party, and dessert will soon be served. In response to the question in terms of the membership model, I'm perfectly happy, as I have been since I first read this report, to explore the options put forward by this new membership model. I think change brings opportunity, and I'm happy to do some development work and see what we can do. However, following on from Alan in terms of some of the devilish details, I have a couple of issues, one of which I think is significantly concerning to me, and the other which I think we just need to properly recognise because it needs to be considered as we look to what the Rallos can do as enablers and facilitators for this hopefully plethora of individuals who will come flocking to us to make contributions. I'll deal with that part first. The opportunities to be engaged in GNSO, not specifically CCNSO, and ASO, recognise of course that ASO work is done within the regions anyway. Policy development is open very much for any man, Mary and his dog, because I have one barking in the background, to be involved with already. So I see no up or downside of the new model other than that we can probably sell it in a different way to be engaged at least in what seems to be the focus of the report. And dear, please note my intonations are all deliberate on GNSO policy development process engagement. We may find it necessary, however, to facilitate, encourage, and indeed coach these individual members in the new model. And again, I also agree, Darren, I think the term empowered should be embargoed and we shouldn't be using it for other reasons that he's certainly made clear, and I can have the support, that we have an opportunity for the regions to make sure that this does empower these individuals, yes, I've just used the embargoed word, to make effective contributions to these policy development processes, or be them in an individual capacity. This, however, is not going to negate the necessity for response to calls for community comment, and community comments coming out of PDP processes are specific requests made to the ACs and the SOs, and calls for responses to public comments, which of course is often when our regional advice also comes into play, and in many cases specific advice from our existing ALSs comes into play. So we need to find a way to make sure those things don't become blank spaces. We could have, 101 additional people lined up to be hopefully active participants in a GNSO working group, but we will still, as a GNSO working group, call for community comment, seeking specific advice on issues, and consensus advice from the SOs and the ACs. That has to come from somewhere, not just 10 of the 15 people, sticking it off the top of their heads one afternoon in the bar. And the same can be said for the public comment when not just individual but consensus built and gathered advice is also very valuable. So that needs to be worked on. That's implementation, I know, but it needs to be considered. The big issue, that wasn't the big issue, by the way, for me. The big issue, and the one I really have stuck in my craw, is your suggestion on the ALAC structure to have the nominating committee appointee people allocated to the roles of the liaisons. That is just wrong, 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 wrong on so many levels. And let me tell you why. I'll give you an analogy. Nick is on the call. It would be like suggesting that your youngest entry green diplomatic corps cadet is given an embassy job. We don't make people ambassadors 5 microseconds after they're thrown into a particular forum. And to me, that's what that proposal is analogous to. Our liaisons are literally ambassadors for ALAC and at-large views into what is often politically sensitive and highly reactive environments. And the nominating committee's role is to put fresh, individual, independent thinking views into the ALAC process, and to suggest that group of people, untested, green, untried, and in many cases unable to call on the history required to make a decent fist of these liaison jobs into those jobs is just wrong. I'm going to stop there, otherwise I'll get really cranky. And I'll try and find my mute button.
Thank you, Cheryl. Tijani, you're next. Tijani.
Thank you very much, Holly, and thank you all. First of all, I'd like to repeat what I said. Perhaps my line was saturated when I spoke at the first time. Perhaps that's why you didn't understand what I said. I said that this call, if it is to repeat our point of view, our understanding that we already expressed in our comments, I think it is useless. It was, when we decided on it, it was intended to hear from items and items are decided today not to give any feedback. This is the first point. Second point, about the model of empowered membership. I think that all this all the report was built on changing the model, while reviewing is not changing the model. We may change the model if it is really the only way to review and to correct what is not going on well. And there is a lot of things not going well in at large. But I was expecting that we give solution to to all the problems faced, not to decide or to propose to change the model. Why I say that? Because if you go to the a membership individual membership model only, this will make ALA at large in general, or ALA if you want, this will make it doesn't have any presence on the ground. Since individuals are volatile, organizations are there. They have bylaws. They are recognized locally in their country, so they exist. They are part of the end users on the ground, and they have activities on the ground. So I can have activities on the ground. This is the spirit of at large in general. Second big problem, if you want, if you go to an individual membership model, and as you know now, ALAC has one voice in the empowered community after the transition, and as you know now, the community has a lot of power. So ALAC will exercise the power through the voice they have, the only one voice. If there is an important decision that will impact, for example, registries or registrars. And impact registries or registrars means a lot of money for them. So they can do anything to make the decision in their profit. And in this case, they may push a lot of people from their side to register as individual member on a touch. They are end users anyway. So, and in this case, you will have the voice of at-large biased. The interest that will be defended by at-large in this case will not be the public interest. It will be also the financial interest of this party. I am giving an example. It is not the case. I am not speaking about a particular case, but I give an example to make you understand. So that's why I say that the ALSS is, in my point of view, the best model with individual membership as it is now, and as it must be generalized on all the values now. One of the recommendations that I was expecting from you is to recommend to generalize, to make it compulsory for all the values. And this is something important, because there are people who are interesting for at large to make use of their energy, of their knowledge, etc. But they don't have organization, so we don't have to refuse them. We have to accept them. They are an added value for at large. So those are the two important points regarding the model, regarding the UDL model, and regarding the ALS model. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. It's Holly speaking. Tom, did you want to reply directly to Tijani?
This is Tom. It's not to reply directly to this point. I mean, clearly, this is an issue which is a very big issue, and it's one of the issues which we're going to be working on and taking your different points of view clearly into account in the next draft. Tijani, just to reassure you about our position for this call, it's not that we are sort of backing off or refusing to engage in any kind of dialogue between now and the rest of the process. Not at all. On the contrary, there will be a time for further dialogue. We're going to expose, further present the model, and so there will be more time for dialogue. There's no problem about that. We just wanted to make the emphasis of this call on your, a clarification, a presentation, of your points of view, and that is exactly what you have just spent the past few minutes doing. And then as far as sort of methodology is concerned, what we will be doing now, as I say, is going away with those, with all your comments, and working with a very clear methodology to take them into account or not. Obviously, as we stick to our independence as reviewers. So that's really what I would say about that, just before we go on to the next person in the queue.
Thank you, Tom. Ida, you're next, please. Thank you.
This is Ida Noblia speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Ida Noblia speaking. Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, good morning to everyone. We participate as an ALS representative, and we have a long history in our country, and we have many types of organizations as well in our country. So I am a little bit concerned about, on one hand, the fact that the surveys and all the work that ITEM has done so far, well, reflects a great critical skill by the community, either by the interviewers or the respondents. So I believe that this work is useful, and this is something very good for a joint work together with ICANN, because I suppose there is a feedback process, as we have been talking about, and that everything will be used by ITEM to solve the issues. But I am a little bit concerned regarding this methodology. I am a little bit concerned about the geographical diversity. You know, we have a model, and we have countries with huge populations, and these countries have certain tools to have diversity. So in that case, we may have those countries with huge populations and important technological tools prevailing. So I am a little bit concerned about inequality regarding developing countries. Those countries which do not have the necessary technology or which do not have the needs or the necessary tools to participate. For example, they do not have the technology or phone lines. On the other hand, I am also concerned about security. Perhaps all these issues may be taken into account by ITEM, those having access individually. And then we have knowledge. As you know, I belong to an organization with a long history, and we have working groups, we have a lot of people, and expertise, specialization, does not mean that anyone or may not be able to specialize or be an expert on something. You know, we need knowledge, and sometimes it gets difficult for people to understand the structure and to understand everything so as to believe that anyone can get access to a certain tool. I have to get in touch with people, I have to get to learn about things, and there is a learning process that we need to do in order to be able to have the necessary knowledge and be able to contribute. And sometimes it is lack of knowledge. There is lack of knowledge about the ecosystem, because it is almost impossible to participate if you don't have basic knowledge. So, for participating in so critical issues, such as this one, such as internet functioning, well, I believe that it would be quite risky, if you will, to start a new way of participating, because we already have a way of participation, we have a method of participation, and I know we have many criticisms about this, but we have tools such as a survey, that has been done, and the survey made by ITEM, so this is very important for us, and this has proved that the respondents and the interviewers do have certain skills that might be applied. You know, I'm a member of LACRALO. LACRALO works in a particular way. And we had last year a training process, a training cycle, and we had the webinars, we have workshops. So we had a transformation, if you will, in terms of learning, in terms of knowledge. We changed our sites, websites. So there was a process of improvement. And even in our monthly meetings, we have a lot of information being shared. So in this case, we have a process that is being developed, and this process is growing. So we had a possibility of, in our country, for example, having a LACRALO event. So this is working very well indeed.
Okay,
the events being held within the country are also important. And the fact that ILSs may be able to promote events are also important. So there are many useful recommendations. But my point basically has to do with these concerns. I wanted to make clear, to express my concerns on this regard. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Alan, you have your hand up. Is that, that's a new hand?
It is definitely a new hand.
A couple
of comments. First of all, I'd like to comment on the last comment. Aida Noblia is one of the very few real users from the relative periphery of at large who have become very active and very knowledgeable. And I think her words are important. I'd be interested, not on this call, of finding out just to what extent travel to ICANN meetings on various occasions has allowed her to do that, or was crucial in how active she has become. And I think that is an interesting example and one of the very few cases we have in our environment where someone has been transformed from someone from an ALS to someone who's actually active and contributing. So there's a few important messages there. In terms of the model which is being proposed, unlike Cheryl, I have a few other problems, not just the use of liaisons or how liaisons are created. We work, as I quoted Matthew Shears, someone who I have butted heads with a lot, but I quoted him in one of my comments, that we work in a very narrow, highly specialized space. There's never going to be a huge number of people. One of our challenges is to get enough information out to allow the right people to surface, because they won't hear about us on their own, and they won't self-identify in the most general case. It's a slow process. As much as I think the ALS structure was wrong-headed when it was invented in 2002, we have them right now, and they are a mechanism to reaching large numbers of people and trying to get our message out if we use them properly. We have not used them properly in the past, and I think that's one of the really crucial issues. If we believe people will suddenly flock to us just because of a vote, these are really the wrong people we're looking for. So I think we have to think about how we attract them, how we manage them, how we make sure they are real committed people, and understand the process is very slow. It is not going to be something where overnight people will materialize. as I'll demonstrate when I went in, if I get a chance to do my very short presentation, it's not... I thank you, Holly. It's not an issue of attracting people. We attract lots of people through mechanisms. They disappear. They don't become useful. And we really have to figure out how we create these people, how we train them, how we make use of them. And the issue is not to kick them out as soon as they're useful, because if we're not careful, that is what we will end up doing. And we have to recognize we're here not just to give advice to the board, which the report said repeatedly. We are, and when we give comments, it's not just on GNSO PDPs. I would guess, although I haven't counted them, the vast majority of our comments are not on PDPs. And on those PDPs, if indeed we have people working on them, somehow we have to coalesce their ideas into a document that makes some sense. And again, the report, its only recommendation in that area is to abolish the groups that allow us to do that. So when I say the devil's in the details, it's not just the fine points of the details. It's the overall flow that will allow us to actually manage the overall process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Now, Cheryl, I've seen your hand pop up and down. Is it up? If so, you have it's popped up before everybody else, so
if,
go ahead.
If you've seen it pop up, then call on her. The worst she'll say is no.
I have. I'm watching it disappear and then come back. Cheryl?
Holly, what you should see is my green agree tick to what just said by Alan.
I did.
So if a hand came up and down, it was some latency issue. I'll just jump in and make myself a nuisance as needs be. And I'm now going back to my not flambéed but beautifully Scotch, and I do mean whiskey, drizzled pancakes.
I think I'll leave you to it. Alberto, please go ahead. Is Alberto...
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Sorry, I was unmuting myself. Sorry for the delay. So this is Alberto Soto speaking. Well, I fully agree with many of the comments here. I have typed many things on the chat, but for the record, I would like to state that I haven't read any foundation or any grounds to say that with the implementation of this model, successful changes will be made. There is no estimation regarding individual users that might be incorporated to the organization, so I believe that this research should have taken into account certain figures or estimates. I mean, I'm not against having individual users at all. Indeed, in Lagralo, despite that we have in our bylaws certain regulations in this regard, we had individual users. They do not belong to any ALS, and they work in internal working groups. They have a voice, but they have no voting rights. So when they work in or within the working group, they have a voice and vote for the working group. They don't have the voting right for the elections. So if we had a model allowing us to have individual users and they will be able to have voting rights and we will have metrics for the ALSs and metrics for individual users, well, I believe that that would be good. There would be no problem with that. But I am a little bit concerned about something, and this is that we do not know the comments, our comments. We don't know the comments that we're taking into account, the comments that we're accepted, because we know we are having comments or providing comments that are similar. So it means that we as a group or perhaps individually, we should have to give our opinions in the public comments as if we hadn't done it before. That's the only thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. To Johnny, your hand's up. Go ahead, please. Actually, Tom, are you replying to that comment?
I could just reply quickly to
okay,
that comment,
thank you.
Which is simply to say that we cannot
answer every single specific comment that has been made, especially when several commenters are commenting on the same issue. So we're not going to go back to every single commenter and explain the reasons why we have or have not accepted their comment. But what we will do is that we will look at comments sort of collectively, and that will result in, if we think that it needs, it requires a change to the document, that will result in an updating of the document, which will be very clear for everyone to see. I just wanted to to reassure you on that particular point.
Thank you. Okay, Tujani, could you go ahead, please? Your hand's up.
Thank you very much, Holly. First of all, I would like to thank Aida for her intervention. She reminded me one important point about the AMM. You know that in the developing countries, there's a lot of individuals who may want and who wants to engage as individuals. In the developing countries, there is a few. The few are already in organization or associations. So trying to find people who are individuals and wanting to engage will be harder there. And in this case, we will have a huge number of individuals from the north and very few from the south. And this will widen the divide. The second point that I wanted to make, as Alan notes it now, as I strongly said in my comments, so all the report of items was made around, around the conception of that the mission of at-large is to deal with policy and only policy. I think this is absolutely, I don't think, it is absolutely wrong. You have to read the bylaws. The main duty of at-large is to defend the interests of end users. And one aspect of this, of defending the interests of end users is to comment on the policies proposed in ICANN. And that it is written like this in the bylaws. In the bylaws, they say that our duty is to comment or to make comments on the policy and also to do other things. And don't forget that at large is everyone, everyone, with no, most of the time, with no knowledge about the techniques. No knowledge about the law, no knowledge about specific things. It is everyone. So everyone cannot be making a policy or commenting on policy, but they have rights. They have interests, and we are here to defend their interests. So I would like you to stick to the bylaws definition of the mission of at-large. We are not supposed to make policy only or to comment on policy only. We have a lot of other issues to do. And when you say that we have to get rid of the working groups, that means that we don't have to do anything. So we have to stop everything, only participate in the policy working groups on in the other constituencies of ICANN. And this is what we have to do. So this is really a big damage. You are killing at large in this way. Thank you.
Thank you, Tejani. Tom, you've got your hand up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello. I think, sometimes there's some very emotive language that's used, like killing at large and all this kind of thing, which really is sort of... A real distraction, and it's so far removed from anything that we're doing that I think it's really sort of unnecessary. What we are trying to do, what we have done with this first draft, is to collect together the thoughts, the very different thoughts from very different parts of ICANN on what's going right, what's not
going so right within at large, and we have proposed a model which we believe will empower the end users, which we think is a fundamental, it's a critical need, a requirement for the at large as you sort of think about the years as you move forward and in the years ahead. And I think actually, to be you know, on a more positive note, what I think a lot of this conversation has been about, and I think that's, you know, it's incredibly positive, from Aida, from Alan, from Cheryl, from others, Holly, I think, you know, I think you are, what you're doing is you're providing us with a very constructive feedback on your thoughts about end users, things that have worked in the past, and that is definitely, you know, intelligence which we want to now take into account as in the remainder of the process. It's definitely, we definitely don't see ourselves in an aggressive, destructive, killing kind of mode. We are, we want to build, we don't want to lock horns with you either. That would be a disaster for all of us. What we want to do is to use this kind of call, the comment period, to really, you know, constructively move forward. So I just wanted to sort of, just sort of make that point. Before we move on.
Excellent, thank you. We've got Aida and Alan, and what I have done is, as Alan has pointed out, he does have a presentation. We have a hard stop at in about 25 minutes. So I'm going to first hear Aida, then Alan again, and then Alan, if you can keep your presentation to 10, and then we can sum up with Tom. I think we can fit into the time. So, Aida, go ahead, please.
This is Aida speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So, I just want to make a clarification. I understand this from the point of view of being a grassroots person. And so this is a way to work. It's an additional way to work. It's complementary. From my point of view, we are all on the same page, both items and the community. We are all trying to improve what's already in existence. And so both what's being raised here as a proposal and what we're all saying is our different points of views to reach an agreement or an improvement to the current situation. And what I've said does not go against what ITEMS is stating, but actually these are arguments for us to see which of these issues, which of these concerns is more convenient, which solution can be applied. Maybe we can have intermediate solutions, or Alberto talked about associations of individual users. This is something that is being seen in other events. And so what I wanted to convey is my organization is pretty big, and it has an important impact. So we are working together to reach a common goal, to improve our situation. And then on the other hand, because we are working here in different working groups, and we've been doing this for so long, and this has a good impact, and this is even listened to by the judicial power, because we work in the legal field. And they even ask for advice for specific cases. All of this is somehow showing that this style is working. This is basic for an association, notwithstanding that we may allow the incoming of individuals. These are people that we are concerned with. So I was actually concerned about security, who is going to be in and what for. This is also a very delicate issue. We believe that everybody will cooperate, but cybersecurity also has an impact in this situation. That was what I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tom, did you have another comment before we go to Alan?
No, sorry, I'll take my hand down.
Thank you. Alan, do you want to go ahead with your presentation? I think we've... Before we do that, is there anybody who now has anything further to say? Have we exhausted the comments?
Because my hand is up to make such a comment, and then I will do my presentation if you allow.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Thank you. I don't believe there is anyone who thinks the reviewers intend to kill at large. What some of us are pointing out is that could be the net effect of some of the results that are being implemented. We're living in an interesting space. As the untold numbers of comments that you have quoted verbatim in the report show, and you may choose to believe what I'm saying or not, but it doesn't alter my view, there are huge numbers of misinformed people who don't understand what is going on, just as people in at large do not understand the GNSO or the board or the CCNSO or the GAC. They work on a couple of glib facts that someone said to them in a hallway and presume that is the reality, which it often is not. So this is a difficult space we're in, and what we do is going to have to work the first time. We can't afford to do it wrong. We can afford not to do it well enough and still have to make fixes, but we can't afford to do it sufficiently wrong that we, in fact, kill the process. And we are potentially very close to that. And as someone who has invested 10 years of my life and a very significant part of that life trying to fix the problems in at large, I personally would prefer that not be the outcome of this. So that's all I was going to say. I will be putting in some summary comments, not targeted at particular sentences, but overviews. Somehow I'll try to do that if I can by the end of the day. I am now ready to go to the report if Holly chooses.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you very much. There were many, many comments in the report. Can we have the first slide, please? I realize everyone can switch to themselves, but I would prefer someone else do it as I'm talking. And if you could move whoever's doing it, move the cursor over so all the words show up. Thank you. The report includes a huge number of comments attributed largely to staff and to GNSO, although I'm sure there are some other ones, that imply that all we do is churn over the same people time and time again. And to quote one of the few attributed comments from Robert Guerra, who was on the ALAC about 10 years ago, the situation of his demise or leaving the ALAC is something that perhaps we should talk about, not in a public conference. Saying that we are still the same people, you know, it just bears no relationship to reality. The same comments are made by numerous other people, and I reacted to that by trying to get some real facts. Our records are a travesty. We have, over the years, not kept up our records very well. They are loaded with errors. They are loaded with gaps. It took not a small number of hours, not a small number of days to put this together. Next slide, please. And the point is that perceptions are there. They're real. I learned a long time ago as a manager that if people think there's a problem, there is a problem. It's rarely the one they think. And I think that is the case here. Next slide, please. So I put together a review of all ALAC members since the beginning of time, all RALO leaders, all liaisons, all delegates to the nominating committee. Most of what you see is correct. There are a few places, particularly in the early years of AP RALO, where I have guessed at exactly where the transition between people occurred because I cannot find the records yet. We will try to make them accurate, but they're very, very close to reality right now. Next slide, please. All right, I don't expect you to read it. that's a chart of all the ALAC members that have sat on the committee since the beginning of time. You'll notice they change. The horizontal axis are ICANN meetings and years since 2003 going up to 2018. Yes, there are a couple of people, I'm one of them, that have stuck around. There are two or three other people like me. There aren't many. If you look at the shaded boxes, the four people who are shaded in the brownish, purplish color are people who, by the end of the Hyderabad meeting, had exceeded the norm which the report espouses to, that is, not more than two contiguous terms on the ALAC. Those are the only three people who, by that time, had exceeded that. Everyone else had come and gone within that mandate. The two in blue are when you factor in terms starting at Hyderabad, there are two additional people. I happen to be one of them. Holly is the other one, interestingly.
I should leave now.
No. It demonstrates that the people who are the most active, the people who are involved, are people who have been around a long time. We need a few of them. And I'm not saying you need me. I'm on my way out. I can't speak to Holly, but I'm certainly on my way out of much of this process. But some level of continuity is really important. But the churn is important to look at. Now, I understand the review said it's not just the ALAC, but it's moving from one chair to another, from the ALAC to the RALO to the something else. So next slide, please.
Oops, wait a minute, sorry.
Okay, that's RALO leadership. Again, yes, there are some people who have been around a long time. Yes, there is movement in it. And by the way, despite what the report implies, not all RALO slots are travel funded. For instance, if you look at the bottom of these are in alphabetic order. If you look at the bottom of AP RALO, you'll see the secretariat. They've been around forever. That's not an elected position. That's an appointed position. These are volunteers who do it largely without any travel support whatsoever. The second to last person is someone who, when he comes to meetings, comes on his own dime. The last person is someone who rarely comes to meetings. In the cases where there are vice chairs within RALOs, and several of the RALOs have them, in general, they decide who gets funded. It rotates around people. So don't presume just because someone shows up on that chart that there's travel funding associated with it. That is not the case. Next slide, please. Now, liaisons. You'll notice there's more continuity with liaisons. That's there for a reason. These liaisons are crucial positions. We have had times, and I am not exaggerating here, where we have attempted to train a new liaison for one of our groups, and we are politely told to never let that person in the room again. It's happened twice. That's the kind of danger you can have when you put a random person in without the proper kind of training, without the kind of background. These are really crucial positions. Next slide. We appoint people to the nominating committee. You'll notice in some cases that the same person comes back later. That's not particularly accidental. There are parts of ICANN, and the ASO is the one I particularly think of, that there's a two-year contiguous term limit to sitting on the NOMCOM as a voting delegate. There's one person who every 2 years they come back because the ASO alternates them. They put the knowledgeable people there because those are the people helping to govern or guide things. In the beginning, most RALOs used the NOMCOM as a training place. We took someone who knew nothing about ICANN and put them on the NOMCOM. I think that's particularly pig-headed if you're trying to help your organization. It's a great training ground, however. So usually those people end up moving somewhere else, and then sometimes we put them back in the NOMCOM because at that point they're really good NOMCOM people for us. So it's an interesting world we're living in. Next page. This one I don't expect you to read. This is the consolidated one. It shows over the 5 years we have had 100, I think it's 126 or 146, I've lost track at this point, people move through the organization in the various slots. Yes, there are some lines that continue, and yes, there's lots of white space there because people come and go. Next slide. We're looking at 15 years, about 30 to 40 positions in the last 10 years. The first 6 years, there were only, I think 6 years, there were only the 15 ALAC positions because the interim ALAC was in force. 124 people is the right number over that period of time. Next slide. Some statistics. I took over the full period and over the period since we have had RALOs because the number, the whole dynamic changes at that point. The board-appointed ALAC members tended, with two exceptions, to stay there for the whole period of time from 2003 to 2006 or 7. We tend to churn people a lot more. So although the NOMCOM people changed every 2 years typically, because rarely does a NOMCOM person succeed and are kept around for another term, the ALAC members change. What we see is the average person over the full period attends about 10 meetings in their whole lifetime, not necessarily contiguous. They may come and go, and that's equivalent to about 3.5 years. And since averages are skewed numbers, the median is also interesting, and it's 8 meetings, a little under 3 years. If we look at the period in the what I call the modern period, since we have RALOs and all of the RALO leadership that goes, the numbers change a little bit. They go down a little bit, as you would expect, because some of the original people had long lives in the organization. The board appointed them, and unless they quit, they were there for life, or at least a life until the RALOs existed. And we're looking right now at a median of 2 years for people. So that is clearly saying that they're not, everyone isn't staying around for life. Next slide. Looking at the distribution, I expected a pretty standard distribution. What I found, perhaps not surprisingly, but I hadn't thought it through very well, is we have a huge peak at the 2 years or just under 2 years. The problem we are having is not the few people who have attended 31 to 33 meetings. I'm one of them. Am I a problem? Perhaps. But that's not the issue. The real problem is the churn we have at the low end that we're not managing to keep people and get them involved and get them productive and get them able to move up. Next slide. Same slide, but looking only at the current ALAC, the numbers are somewhat lower. The scale changes, so the height of the lines may not change, but the numbers are somewhat lower. Next slide. Okay, do people stay too long? Yeah, some of them do. If you look at the detailed charts, you can identify a few people who probably overstayed their welcome. They're not many, though. We do have people that switch from one job to another and stay for a long time moving through jobs as they gather experience and as they gather perspective. That's a good thing in my mind, not a bad thing. Do we rotate jobs among friends? That someone's going out of one seat because they're term limited or something, let's find another slot for them. Yeah, we do it on occasion. I can point to perhaps a handful of cases like that where we took someone who, where the community, because this is a bottom-up community, took someone who didn't really do a good job in their previous job and put them into another job. Usually, it's because there is no ability to really give feedback to the people making the decisions. In some cases, there are friends, and we're going to do it anyway. That's one of the dangers of democracy, unfortunately. In any of our countries, we have legislators who go back just because they're good. They're good at they're good at politics, not necessarily at doing a good job. But there's not many of them. And those aren't the problems we need to fix. Those are problems you fix with one-on-one confrontation, not by global rules. I once read it was one of these humor management books, and they said they were talking about a policy in a company. A policy is something you write to fix a one-time occurrence which you don't mention in the policy. There's a lot of truth to it. Is travel an issue? You bet. But most of the issue is not that it's fun. Time away from our family, time where you have to take vacation because you're actually working and your employer doesn't let you just take time off randomly, is not necessarily fun, even if you happen to go to a place that's interesting and take a day of a vacation along with it. It primes the pump. It provides the information. So you have to look at it from that perspective. And there is an issue of travel for perks. We have a number of people, I could name them, but I won't on this call, who basically have said, and said in public ways, they've said it in campaign statements, that if you give me a job where I will be traveling, I will work. If you don't give me a job, I will not work. And they do that by simply not ever joining a working group, not ever showing up at a meeting, that kind of thing. But they continually apply for jobs. And sometimes their friends give them votes. That's a bad thing, not a good thing. Next slide. Done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alan, thank you. We've got 5 minutes left. Tom, do you have a few things to say? First of all, thank you very much for all the statistics you've gathered. It's certainly, I think they're very useful for the ITEMS team.
By the way, I will provide all of the raw data. I just haven't gotten it to the stage where I can send it out to the review team now, but will.
Yeah. Tom, any last words? And then I'll just go through very, very quickly the timeline because we do have a hard stop. Go ahead, Tom.
Okay. So just quickly, just to say to Alan, well, thank you, you know, for that information. It's incredibly detailed, and obviously we'd be interested to see it. You just mentioned that you provide us with the raw data as well. I mean, I think as reviewers, we would need to have that raw data that you have used to make these charts. But that is incredibly detailed and interesting information, which we will obviously take into account in the next draft. But thank you really very much for that and for your thoughts about participation rates and who you've actually involved and renewal and those kinds of things, which are, well, it's true, a central part of our thinking up to now. I won't say much more, except to say that you started out by saying that there was a problem of perception and people saying things about at large based on, you know, partial information and sort of in a very judgmental kind of way without necessarily being particularly kind of informed. But one of the reasons for that may be that there are too many of one kind of quote in our draft, and we can correct that possibly to a certain extent. But perceptions are important, and what we have found actually is that going through many of the quotes that we haven't included in our draft is that this perception is a widespread perception, the ones that you were talking about, we will be able to balance up the quotes with examples from many other parts of the community who are, you know, who have similarly harsh kind of comments. But I think what you were saying is that perceptions sometimes are a little bit unfair, and that's a possibility, but that they're definitely things that you need to work on. Perceptions are very important for a community. I don't think I will say much more, only really to say that this conversation has been very useful. All your input, we've noted down much of your input, and we shall be taking that into account in the days ahead. And I'll just really hand it back to Holly for the timeline from now on.
Right. Well, with the 60 seconds remaining, the timeline is
23 hours, 59 minutes of today. From there, the report will be released for public comment on the 20th of January. The public comments will close on the 2nd of March. The Copenhagen meeting starts on the 11th of March, and during that meeting there will probably be about a half a day put aside for discussion of the report and the public comments. Following that, the working party will be briefed on the final report as drafted by ITEMS to go to the board, and it will go to the board in the June meeting. And then from then, I think the work begins. But look, I'd like to thank everybody on this call. I think it's been very useful. Thank you, ITEMS team. Thank you, all members of the working party. And we're ending on time, which is exactly when we... Yep. Yes?
Holly, sorry to interrupt. Just one last thing, which I don't think you mentioned, which was that during the next meeting, the Copenhagen meeting, we are planning still to have the a workshop, which I think will be a very useful mechanism to get us all together it could be an opportunity for us to really sort of go through all the aspects of what we're proposing and engage with you and everyone who's there in what will hopefully be a very dynamic kind of meeting to explain and to go through the model.
Yep. Yeah, that has already been gone through. That's already gone through to Gisela, who knows that she has to actually schedule that into the Copenhagen meeting. So yeah, that's already on the cards. That's being dealt with. And that said, it's 1 minute past, but I can thank everybody for their time, and think this was a very good meeting. And well, we'll see everybody in Copenhagen, but probably talk beforehand. So thank you, everybody. Excellent meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
This meeting is now adjourned. The audio will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.